Welcome back to the Bookshelf Odyssey. My name is Art, and I have a couple of recurring guests or returning guests with me today. First one I'll introduce really needs no introduction by this point, Jessica Thompson. You've been on 3 or 4 times now.
I'm a Bookshelf Odyssey all-star.
That's right. I think a few more here, and you can be an official co-host or something. I don't know.
Start a punch card.
There you go. There you are. If you don't know her, she's the author of the Caterer's Guide to Crime series and the absolutely delightful standalone Shoot, Shovel, and Shut Up. So I really enjoyed that book, Jessica. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
And then my other guest, she's also returning, J.R. Lancaster. She's the author of the fantastic book, Someone's Always Watching. I loved your character in that, Basil Billingsley, JR. So thank you and welcome back to the Bookshelf Odyssey.
Excited to be here.
These two partners in crime here have a cozy mystery short story collection coming out called Luck of the Irish. It'll be out just in time for St. Patrick's Day. There is the copy of the cover there, and it's available for pre-order right now, which I just happened to do that today before we jumped on.
Ooh, thank you.
The proceeds from the book go to a charity that helps support children. So sounds like a fantastic collection of stories and help children in need. So it's a worthy cause. And so ladies, welcome back, both of you.
Thanks
for having us.
This new short story you have coming out, Jessica, you're one of the main editors from what I can tell. You and Derek. I've had her on the podcast before. Tell us a little bit about this anthology.
Well, let's see. It started when Kate approached me, I guess. Yeah, we were in a different anthology together. And she said, hey, do you know of any anthologies that are looking for St. Patrick's Day stories? And I was like, no, I don't. Make one yourself. And then she was like, I will if you do it with me. So that was about this time last year. So we figured we couldn't put it together in like a week. So we were like, okay, next year we'll do it. So I guess her story and my story were written a few months ago. But we put out a call for submissions and JR joined us because we already knew her too. Mm-hmm. I really like this collection of stories. It's really fun.
Now, so as editor, I assume you get to read and approve all the stories. You're kind of the mastermind behind it.
I'm second in command.
Okay. Perfect.
The first mate.
And then, JR, and we'll get to your story here in a minute too, Jessica, but what's your story about in the collection, JR?
I'm actually excited to say it's kind of a side quest for Basil. He travels to Northern Ireland to help a client who is struggling with his plants in his conservatory where he plans to hold his St. Patrick's Day party, and this is just really important to him because he's trying to show up other people in his village. So Basil travels there, and then obviously someone's not so lucky.
Yep, as will happen in a cozy mystery, dead bodies will show up, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, just to remind folks, tell us a little bit about your story you have out and who Basil is.
So Basil Billingsley is actually my protagonist from the first novel, my debut novel that I put out, Someone's Always Watching. And in that novel, he's introduced as the village recluse. So he was implicated in his mother's murder and ended up just kind of like shutting himself off from everyone after that happened. And no one was able to figure out who the murderer was at the time. And then fast forward 10 years and a similar murder occurs. And so he kind of gets roped into making new friends and helping with that murder in hopes of bringing a resolution to his mother's unsolved murder from 10 years prior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I mentioned, I really enjoyed that character, especially kind of a almost like a reluctant hero kind of character, and getting pulled into a I just want to be left alone kind of attitude, and he's getting pulled into society. So
I love
Basil too. He was so relatable.
yeah.
And the story itself had so many twists and turns. That was good.
You know, when I was putting him together as a character, I never really thought about it until after I seen him on paper, and then I realized he was kind of a culmination of both my grandfathers who have passed. And so there are pieces of both of them in his personality. And so I think that's why I just love him so much. So he needed a side quest because he wasn't done.
Now, will there be more Basil stories coming, or some more from you?
There will actually.
Excellent.
I have three more Basil stories in the works, and right now on Kindlevella, I have a spin-off with Poppy Pembroke, who is Basil's crush, I guess, from childhood. So she actually kind of got her own story, and if that goes over well, that'll be in print too later this year.
All right, great. And now, then Jessica, your story is in the your crime series, correct?
Mine's also a story, a short story with my main character from my books. So it's Violet, and it's right after she and Jake have gotten engaged. So she's meeting his mom, and so she's an actor in local theater. So she's at the Austin Celtic Festival. And it's on St. Patrick's Day, even though in real life it's not. Anyway, and then someone drops dead.
Do you ever stop to wonder what, especially cozy mystery series that go on for, 18, 20 books? People just keep finding dead bodies. You're gonna get suspicious about
Cat
it.
and Cove effect. Murder capital of the world.
I still say Angela Lansbury's character. I can't remember her name now.
Jessica
Jessica
Fletcher.
Jessica Fletcher. Yeah, she might be a serial
Another
killer.
Jessica.
There's.
The
Yeah,
Jessica
that's right. We've got a we've got a Jessica group here today. So what can we expect from some of the other stories? I don't know if you've read them all yet. JR, but Jessica, you might have, just but as because you're the editor, what can we expect in some of the other stories?
They're all really fun. So, most of them include a leprechaun in some way, but like it's almost just like a hint of a leprechaun. Like one is a black cat named Leprechaun, like a little tiny bit. And they're not paranormal stories, they're traditional cozies. And then we've also included a bunch of recipes, like I think it was Kate's favorite recipes at the end. Was it every author that su submitted a recipe or a bunch of them?
Everyone had an opportunity to submit a recipe, but I don't know that everyone actually did. And some of them actually picked recipes like myself that were mentioned during a food scene in the short story within the anthology. So like my story is Irish stew because they're served that on when Basil arrives. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay, so clearly I haven't read all the recipes, but there are a lot of recipes. I don't actually know how many. But
Oh.
yeah, I liked JR's recipe and I liked my recipe, so I know I like those.
What recipe do you have in there, or is that a secret?
Mine is boxty. It's basically potato pancakes. Seems like so many cultures have a variety of potato pancakes. So the Irish ones have some green onion in them. They're really good because, I had to try making them. So yeah, they're really good. And they're like savory potato pancakes. Kind of a latke,
Now my wife will make what she calls corn fritters. And For those who don't know, the way she makes them, they're like a pancake, but they have corn and green onions, I believe, in it. And it's so good. And then she'll, oh my goodness. She'll have a kind of some kind of a salsa relish she'll make too that put on top. Ooh. And oh man.
Nice.
Yeah. Delicious.
Art yeah. Saloning.
Yeah, yeah.
So please send that our way if you can get her to share the recipe.
Yeah.
I will, yes. I'll make a note of that. Yeah, cool. So this book sounds like what I like about cozies is you get the mystery and then you get some good food too. So
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really mm-hmm. like lovable characters and intricate plots and intricate puzzles, I should say. So yeah. Really, just so much fun. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Thinking about, I've got a couple mysteries in mind that I'm looking forward to reading in March for that surround St. Patrick's Day. But I'm going to just kind of throw this out there and make you guys scramble now. Are there some mysteries or books that you would recommend people to read in March to maybe get in the St. Patrick's Day mood? Huh? Or ooh, I'll talk first so I can give you time to think. All right. Well, one book I'm looking forward to, it's in the Beacon Bake Shop mystery series by Darcy Hannah. Ooh. And it's called Murder at the Blarney Bash.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. I've it's coming in the mail here in the next day or two. And I'll be reading that in March. And then there was another collection, Irish Milkshake Murder. It's out by Kensington, and it has three mm-hmm. novellas in it. And one of the stories in there is by Liz Ireland, and she writes the Mrs. Claus mystery series, which I love. And that one is set at St. Patrick's Day. So I'm excited to read that. And then there's two others. I think Carlene O'Connor writes one of them. She writes a lot of, she writes an Irish based cozy mystery series also. So I'm looking forward to...
Are those the one that's like a something at an Irish something?
Yeah, yeah. Like yes. Murder at an Irish pub, murder at an Irish...
Yeah, yeah, those!
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
That's yeah. what I should have said.
That's what I was going to say. I've been reading through her series, and her most recent one is... I pulled it up on Amazon just because I was unprepared too, but it's Murder at an Irish Chipper. And it's not necessarily, I mean, her series isn't necessarily, you know, St. Paddy's Day themed, but it's all set in Ireland. So if she's really great with setting, like it pulls you in. So if you've never been to Ireland, it's a great way to kind of visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forgot I saw that one. And I was wondering, what's a chipper? Is that like a fish and chip shop? What's a chipper?
You know, I'd love to tell you, but I don't know.
Hang on.
I mean, I assume it's not, you know, a wood chipper.
Yeah. Yeah. There.
It's a fish and chip shop.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. There's a store in Omaha near where I live. It's called Chippies. And they are, it's a British themed like bakery type place. Cool. And the owner is from England. So I don't know how they ended up in the Midwest of the United States, but he wanted a taste of home. So he opened up this British themed bake shop, but it has like lunches. You can order like British lunches, the full English breakfast. You can get that.
Nice.
And then it has chocolates and groceries and little, it's just got all kinds of things that he brings over from England, and you can get a taste of England in the Midwest. Yeah.
Yeah. Legit.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, it's authentic. Yeah. I keep wanting to go over and try a full English breakfast sometime because that looks amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then, yeah, so those two, and then I'm going to be reading the collection, of course, the Luck of the Irish collection as well during March. So I've got some St. Paddy's themed books to get through. I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, and you guys gave me time to look up. I was trying to remember the name of Tanya Kappus wrote a a St. Patrick's Day story, and it's four-leaf felony. I don't know if you can see that.
Fun.
Anyway, so that's the one I was... I haven't read it yet, so I can't personally recommend it, but, you know, Tanya is always good.
Yeah. Now, what does she write?
Oh, yeah, typically. She writes cozy.
Okay.
Cozy mystery. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Yeah, in the small print, it says holiday cozy mystery. So, yeah.
All right.
Be good.
Yeah. And then, JR, what were we going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say Maddie Day's got one. I didn't realize a four leaf cleaver.
Mm.
She's one that I really love in the cozy mystery genre.
Yeah. I've enjoyed her books. I had to look up now this Irish Milkshake Murder collection, but yeah. Carlene O'Connor, Liz Ireland, and Peggy Earhart all contribute a novella to that collection. So those are all three really great writers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you have any St. Patrick's Day traditions at all, or is it just a day to eat corned beef and get it over with?
Yeah, I think our tradition is eating corned beef. One time I cured, salted, corned my own brisket, but it wasn't that great. So I'm going to stick with like submerged in water. Because I was like, oh, and I'll roast it. And it was like so dry.
Mm.
Biggest hockey puck you've ever seen.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Didn't work.
No. Not at all. Yeah. How about you, JR? Do you have any traditions?
Well, traditions are changing for us this year because my kids are older, but we actually, every year we've made leprechaun traps, my kids and I, before it gets to St. Patrick's Day. And so that was just kind of fun. It was just another creative outlet. And then we do cabbage. We don't really like corned beef at our house. So we just make sure that we eat something with cabbage in it for luck.
Great. Now, what's a leprechaun trap?
Oh my gosh, they're so much fun. So yeah. You just have to get creative and you reuse things from around your house. You don't have to buy anything. So you can use toilet paper rolls, you can use boxes, paper mache, you can make it however you want. We've done it so many different ways. And the kids just decorate and they paint and they, you know, glue things and there's glitter everywhere. And you basically just create like a little trap. Do you remember on the Looney Tunes how sometimes they would have, like, Jerry would create something to try to catch, I guess that wasn't Looney Tunes, but Jerry, Tom would try to catch Jerry with one of those boxes on a string and he'd try to pull it. So yeah. The idea is that you create something that when the leprechaun goes in to get the money that you put in there, then it's going to snap closed and you're going to be able to catch it.
Okay. How fun. Oh, fun. Yeah.
I was imagining a box with a stick.
Yes. Yes. We have done that before, but the kids have actually got really creative. And as Chloe got older, you know, obviously like the magic was different for her, but she still really enjoyed doing it. So hers became more intricate, paper mache and, hey dad, do you have any spare springs around the house? And I think one might've even included a mouse trap at one point, but who's to judge?
Oh, don't kill the leprechaun.
So yeah, but you put money in there so that way it attracts the leprechaun.
Now, what happens if you catch a leprechaun? Do you get a pot of gold? That's the way
the story is told. Yes, of course we've never caught any leprechauns. Zach did get in a bit of a predicament. That's my husband. One time when he tried to get his quarters out. That's the closest the kids have gotten to.
That mousetrap snapped, huh?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Oh, my.
Isn't he a redhead, too? They all got a really big red.
Like a 6'2" leprechaun. Like Elf, but, you know, St. Patty's Day version.
I'm seeing a movie here. This is going to work, yeah. Perfect. Oh, yeah, we ourselves, we don't really have a lot of traditions for St. Patrick's Day. When my wife and I were first married, I know we she had made we had made corned beef ca and cabbage, and just kind of that's about what we did. But then it made us both so sick. We just were like, you know what? This let's just skip it and we'll celebrate in our hearts. That's what
Oh, no.
we'll do.
That's
Celebrate by reading books.
right. Yeah, celebrate by reading books. That's my go-to celebration. So yeah, you can't go wrong that way. So
No.
now, Jessica, do you have any what's your future plans as far as writing goes? It always seems like you have something cooking.
Well, yeah. JR and I are also working on another project together. We've been collaborating a lot. We've got this vella going it's not Cozy Mysteries. Ooh, if I hold it at an
There
angle.
you go.
So it's called Meet Cute Moments. So it's just like super duper short, sweet romance stories where it's just a meet cute, because I figure that's the, like, for me, that's the best part and the most realistic, because my husband and I didn't like find some act three reason to break up and then get back together. Just meet, get excited, you date. The end. Anyway.
The end. We're at the beginning. I mean, marriage
Yeah.
is an adventure, right?
Yeah. So at the end of these stories, we're not putting the end, because it's like, no, it's just the beginning. So in your mind, the story keeps going. Anyway, so they're not cozy mysteries, but they're still pretty cozy, pretty cute. They're adjacent to our genre. So
Yeah,
that's
fun.
Bella, what we're working on right now.
And that's the Kindle Vella you said? Like, yeah. Okay, cool. Trying to decide if the way my wife and I met, if that would count as a meet cute or something. I don't know. It was really ironic though. I met her in college, and we worked together at a in a cafeteria in the school cafeteria. And the first day I remember, I was there. It was like first day for work, and she came, bursting into the room where the cafeteria is. I mean, she doesn't enter a room; she bursts into the rooms. She just got such a big presence. And I remember the first thing she said was, "It is a beautiful day for a wedding." And I'm like, "Oh boy, here's this girl who's just hunting for a husband. I better watch out for her." That was my first thought. But it turns out one of their friends was getting married that day, so she was just excited for it, and it was a beautiful day and all that. But so then, fast forward a few months, we were friends because we worked together, and then yeah, we just hit it off and started dating 6 months later, I guess, from that point. But
That's cute. That's
oh,
cute.
I love
I do
that.
too. And for all you hopeless romantics out there, when we got married and she came down the aisle and everything, when she got up front, she whispered to me, "It's a beautiful day for a wedding."
Oh,
So
tingles. Cute.
Tingles down my right arm. That's
there,
so cute.
at least it's not down your left arm. Isn't that a heart attack or
Yeah. This arm is bad. This
right?
arm cute.
Oh, I love that. That is a meet cute. That actually is very fitting with a lot of the stories that we have compiled in there. And they're all different characters, all different genres, all different age groups. Like, no two stories are the same. So you're getting a little bit of something different every time you open an episode.
Yeah, well, I will have to check those out. I'm a sucker for romantic comedies and things. I love them. So I've apparently lost my man card because of it, but I don't care.
That's all
Well,
right.
I will tell
That's
you there's
my
one in
problem.
there called Dirt Road Cowboy that I wrote, and that's actually a play on mine and my husband's meet cute.
Okay. Excellent.
That one's manly.
Okay.
But yeah, guys can like rom-coms. My dad used to watch the 6-hour Pride and Prejudice with us.
Oh, yeah?
That's the best
one. Cry at the end because he has two girls, a blonde and a brunette.
Mm. No.
Anyway, and he's manly, so.
No, JR, you said that was the best one. I've heard that, but I haven't seen that one yet. And I get told Agreed. All the time.
Listen, I'm a huge fan. I don't think that there's one I just don't like, but that one will always be my favorite. And I just watched it for the fifth time over the weekend, last weekend.
Yeah, so, I need to, yeah.
And it's the most similar, I feel like, to the actual story itself that Jane Austen wrote. It is definitely the most accurate.
Yeah, I love Jane Austen's books, and I've loved, I mean, I've seen a handful of adaptions, movies and things, but I've always enjoyed them. And I don't know why I just haven't gotten around to it. At this point, I think I'm just being stubborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you and your wife have weekend plans.
Yeah, we could. We actually just celebrated in February our... it was our 25th year of dating. We started dating 25 years ago.
Congratulations.
So yeah,
congrats.
Cool.
Yeah.
You could surprise her with a Pride and Prejudice, like, you know, the 6-hour version, and you could be like, I think it's a beautiful day for a wedding.
There we go.
Love it.
Two weddings.
Right.
Actually, I'm gonna spoil the ending.
Wedding.
Spoil the ending. You know, a book everyone should have read by now. I mean, come on, people.
Yeah.
This is Jane Austen. We all know it's ending in a wedding.
Right.